Today I'll be reading 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 11 through 13. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it.
We begin with a question, and the question is, what is it that tempts you? Is it chocolate? Some people struggle with food issues. Some people struggle with the internet. And others are tempted by various substances which can be acquired both legally and illegally. You know, for thousands of people over thousands of years, there's been a struggle which 1 Corinthians 10 brings to light. And this has to do with the temptation of participating in the worship of something other than God. We refer to it as idol worship. And the Corinthians, we sense, are among those people who feel like, well, this can't be a problem for me. Some of them must have said, don't worry, I won't slip back into the old ways. And you know why they say that? It's because it's a part of our fallen nature to be overconfident. We're overconfident. People think that life is like a balance beam and they can lean one way or the other. So the Apostle Paul says, if you are thinking that you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Be careful that you don't fall. What does that remind us of? Kind of reminds me of the Olympics. Be careful that you don't fall. You know, you cannot go to worship Jesus one day and then on the very next day participate in a table with food that's been involved in idol worship sacrifice. That is the message that Paul is giving to the Corinthians today. Flipping back and forth spiritually does not work. If you're a gold medal gymnast, you may be able to do some flipping back and forth in certain times of your life. But this is not what Christianity is about. No. The reason he's coming on so strong about this issue is because sin is a big deal to God. Now, the world and the entertainment industry may joke about sin, but God's not joking about it, is he? He's very serious about this issue. And what the previous verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 are doing is describing God's judgment over Israel when they fell into idol worship and when they succumbed to other forms of temptations that came their way, temptations in the wilderness after they escaped Egypt. And so what the Apostle Paul says in verses 9 and 10 are words that we can take to heart. We should not test the Lord as some of them did and were killed by snakes. Then he goes on to say, and do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by a destroying angel. You know, the rest of the people of Israel wandered in the desert for 40 years, which was its own punishment. And we can gather two reasons that God is coming on so strong in these verses for us about judgment. And as we think about that for a moment, consider what God is saying here, that we're not to test the Lord. We're not to test the Lord. Isn't this something that came up between Jesus and the devil? The devil, according to Matthew chapter 4, took Jesus to a very high place, the highest pinnacle of the temple, and said to Jesus, why don't you just jump off? Because the Bible promises that angels will catch you. And what was it that Jesus said to Satan? You're not to test the Lord your God. So this is a deeply rooted idea about testing. We're not to test God by our behavior. So what we read in verse 11 is these things happen to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us. For two reasons, we said. One, it was an example for the people who weren't sinning in the wilderness, so they would avoid the sins of the people who were so busy sinning. And number two, it was an example for the people of the future. It was an example for the Corinthians, right? And now it's an example for you and for me. So we need to take this all very seriously. To avoid the temptations that come to us through sin, we can remember God's twofold promise. Number one, according to verse 13, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. So then it is not appropriate for us to sit back and say, my life is harder than other people's lives. Because everyone is tempted. Everyone goes through hard times. Life's hard for everyone. I remember what the football coach at UCLA, Pepper Rogers, once said. Now, Pepper Rogers was a very good football coach, and he installed an offensive system at UCLA that a lot of other colleges were using and using quite effectively. It was called the wishbone. And the wishbone at UCLA wasn't working all the time. It was at times a disaster. And so the alumni were calling the office of the athletic director and the president of UCLA and complaining and complaining and complaining. And so people got in the face of Pepper Rogers and said, you have to take this system out of our football program. And Pepper Rogers' reply to them was very interesting. He refused to do what they said. We're going to stick with this system and make it work. And he said about the wishbone offense that the wishbone offense is a lot like Christianity. If you only believe in it until something goes wrong, you didn't believe in it in the first place. It's a good thought for us today, isn't it? Our faith in God will hold us up, and we should expect hard times to come our way. Those hard times will often come in the forms of temptations. Things will go wrong. Temptations will be hard, but no harder than anybody else is going through. Now, the word here for seize, lambano, means that it literally grabs you. It literally grabs you. That's how temptation works. It reaches out and it takes hold of you. And what the Bible is telling us today is that the only sensible thing to do when temptation grabs you in order to get you to sin is to grab hold of God. That's what we're supposed to do. Verse 13 says that he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. So you can handle it with God reaching out for you. I was reminded this week of one of our attendees, Lisa, whose dad was in the flooding in West Virginia. There were those individuals who came to rescue him at his house. And with the floodwaters surrounding his house and coming up inside of his house, it was either be rescued or die. And he was the last person in that particular county in West Virginia to be saved. It's an amazing thought. It's an amazing story how people came into him and reached out their hand to bring him out and to deliver him from his death. And he is alive today. And Lisa is able to share with us about how they were able to create for him a new place for him to live. And he's doing well, and we pray for him on a regular basis. But as I think about what happened with Lisa's dad, and I think about individuals who are in houses that have caught on fire and other kinds of disastrous situations, I'm reminded about people go into homes looking for survivors and how they reach for them. And what this passage is reminding us of is that if your house is on fire and you're trapped, how would you respond to the firefighter who finds you and extends his hand to show you the way out? That here is the Lord. The Lord is coming to you in the midst of the fiery temptation that you're going through, and he's reaching out your hand, and the choice is right there before you. Will I grab it? Or will I turn away? Will I take this opportunity to be saved? Now, the question that you might ask is, well, how does the Lord hold out his hand to me? The Bible shows us how through the temptation of Jesus by Satan that God holds out his hand. You know, three times the devil came at him, and in all three temptations, Jesus overcame it. But what perhaps you don't think about when you read the story in Matthew chapter 4 is that Jesus spent 40 days in that wilderness not eating and not drinking. What does that tell us? It tells us that he was preparing himself for temptation. He was preparing himself from the battle that he was about to face. Dear friends, this is what we must do. We must take seriously the fact that there is an enemy out there who wants to destroy your life. And so we must prepare for meeting him as Jesus did. So if you're going into a situation where you feel like you may be tempted, you should pray before you get there, not just after you get there. Pray before you get there and ask other people to pray for you as well. We know that Jesus refuted the temptations that came at him by quoting God's words back to Satan. Each time Jesus responded to Satan, he said, "It is written." And so what that means is we're better prepared to deal with the evil one if we're in the Bible like we are today. The Bible is to be in us. In Psalm 119, we read, "I have hidden your words in my heart that I may not sin against God." So clearly the word of God was in the heart of Jesus. The story of our Lord overcoming Satan is a critical story for us to have in our hearts and in our minds, because God is able to relate to this issue that we're experiencing every single day. Because Jesus faced the same temptations that you and I face. The Bible says, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. God wants us to overcome temptations and demonstrates his character through these promises. So we get a glimpse of the character of God through this incredibly important issue. We read in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 10 that God is faithful. That's a very important idea. You see, the promises can be relied upon. He's never made a promise that he's broken. God is faithful. But his character is not simply like the sun rising every morning. We think of that as faithfulness, don't we? The sun comes up and we say, there it is again. It's there every morning. But that is not the same thing as the character of God. Because what defines this attribute of God's character is the desire that God has to have a relationship with you and with me. And so we read in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 1, God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. So what the Bible's telling you here is that God desires to have a personal relationship with you, and that is the foundation for his faithfulness in your life. He wants to be there for you every single day. You see, with the sun coming up, it's not personal. It comes up for everyone. But God's faithfulness, God's character, is a part of his desire to demonstrate his love to you and to me, to be there for you every single day. Why? Because he loves you. He wants to always be talking with you, always loving you, always leading you, and always blessing you. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 that we should hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. So we face temptation by putting our hand in God's hand, getting closer and closer to God. We're to take hold of God. And one of the ways that we hold unswervingly is to pray the Lord's Prayer. What a beautiful thought for us today, to pray the Lord's Prayer on a regular basis, individually, in our own hearts. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, one of the things that we do is we ask God to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We need to be led away from the places that God does not want us to travel to. And when you come to the close of the Lord's Prayer, perhaps what you might begin to do in your own devotional life is to pray some additional prayers about leading. Could you imagine yourself praying this way? Lord, lead me to a place where I can be a blessing to my family and to my friends. Could you imagine praying a prayer like this? Lord, lead me to a place where I can serve you and make a difference in the lives of others. Can you imagine praying a prayer like this? Lord, lead me to a place where I can encourage another person who is going through a hard time. Lead me to a place where I can learn more about you. One of the most important things we can take away from this morning's teaching from God's Word is that God wants you to know He has a plan for your life. And you know what that plan is? It's plan A. That's the plan that God has for your life. Sometimes when I'm in a social setting and I see someone who's drinking way too much, the thought comes to my mind, that person is not experiencing God's plan A at the moment. It's something quite different. And that's what temptation takes us into. It takes us into plan B, and that's not God's plan. You see, God made you. He has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life this very day. Are you in touch with what God wants to do in your life this very day? Because He has a plan. It's called plan A. And if you're not clear about it, it makes you a target for the evil one. But you know, when I see a person who's volunteering at some place like the SEM food pantry, maybe with our ministry tomorrow night, that we prepare meals for the track employees over at Belterra, I think to myself, that individual is engaged in plan A. Plan A. God's plan A for her life, for his life. A few years ago, I had the privilege of studying with church planter John Wimber. John Wimber was the one who started the very first Vineyard Christian Fellowship, and it was located in Anaheim, California. I remember the one time that I went to worship at the Vineyard in Anaheim, there were thousands of people present, and John was on the stage playing the piano and singing before he got up to preach because he was a talented musician. He was in the entertainment industry for many, many years before God called him to pastor a church. And now there are vineyards all over the United States. There are vineyards all over Greater Cincinnati because of his work, because of God's using him for some special things that I would call plan A. John Wimber said once in a class that he was teaching that the problem for temptation went on for him because of his vast experience in the entertainment industry. It pushed against his very soul. There were many temptations that came his way. And John said that he began this ministry in the Vineyard and then began going out into people's homes and praying for the sick to be healed. And of course, if you know his story, you know that miracles happened as a result of that. God worked powerfully through his life, and people who had cancer were healed. People who had heart disease were healed. People who had all kinds of problems were healed. And God received the glory because of John's life. And what John said about those experiences was, the more I went out and prayed, the busier I got serving God, the less I felt tempted, the less sins I committed. He looked at us and said, I was too busy to sin. Dear friends, that's what God is wanting to remind us of this day, the plan A that He has for our lives. You know, life has its problems. Life has its challenges, and it has its temptations. Wouldn't we like to live it on a cruise ship? It'd be so much easier. Let's say for the moment that you did. If you were on a cruise ship and you were standing on this one particular side of the boat and someone bumped you and you fell out, and then next thing you knew you were in the water and it was wrapping its claws around you and someone threw you a life preserver, what would you do? Would you touch it with one finger? Or would you grab hold of it? Would you seize it with all your heart? We should hold tightly to God because God is our life preserver. The question about temptation is a simple one. Will we take God's hand and really grab it? For if we do, we'll get out before something bad happens to us. Greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. God's got a greater life for us to live. Will we live it? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the power that you have over our lives, which is greater than the power of sin and darkness. Thank you that we can put our hand in yours every hour of every day. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Our hymn of invitation is number 428, I Need Thee Every Hour. If you have a need for healing, for encouragement, or would like to make a spiritual decision, we invite you to come forward during the singing of this hymn, and one of our deacons or deaconesses will pray with you. Let's all stand to sing.